It's not the only influence I know today, Ben. Thank you. It's the only influence I follow. But you're right. Maybe we need to start there. What is an influencer? And before we read the blurb, can you name me these people over here? Anyone? No.
Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yes.
He's got millions of followers. That's true.
I wouldn't call football his hobby, but it probably always was actually. But he earns a lot of money with the influence he has on social media, etc. Does anybody know? So you might not. Cristiano Ronaldo.
Sorry, are you still asking about any of the others? Or
No, go.
so the bottom right one's one of these rapist brothers from Romania who's been arrested in the US. So
Correct.
Tate,
Andrew Tate.
yes. I don't follow him.
You don't know.
I was going to say one left person that's likely even tip orbit further.
That's true.
Where you've left.
It's true.
Looks like Charlie Ball's husband.
Charlie Ball's husband. Oh,
Ollie.
right. Ollie.
Ollie.
Ollie Heasman.
Ollie
Heasman.
Heasman.
No, Ollie would love to have a fraction. So, top left is a guy called, or he calls himself Mr. Beast. He's got an actual name, but everybody knows him on the internet as Mr. Beast. He might not have been the first sort of big social media and YouTube influencer, but if you ask me what he does, then I would try to explain it by he does competitions on YouTube or on other mediums as well. But he has 509 million YouTube subscribers last time anybody bothered to count them. So 509 million people follow what this guy pumps out. And I don't know how many videos it is, but a lot of them try to have daily videos, if not several a week. So we've got a YouTube channel. You'll be pleased to know. Last time we posted something was in 2023 for Easter. There's about 20 videos on there. So this guy, 509 million YouTube subscribers, the third most followed account on TikTok. Nobody can tell me what that actually means. Not the TikTok bit, but how many actual followers that means. Anyway, he earns loads of money by being a he was nobody. He just knew how the algorithm works in these channels and what the algorithm would promote and put up on the top of people's feeds. And then he just fed that algorithm and people started following him because they were seeing what they wanted to see. And it sort of grew and grew and grew from there. Now he actually, he multi, what I'd call it millionaire, I don't know, might be more. He makes products as well, chocolate bars, other things, snacks. Drinks, right? My boy's not
Burgers.
burgers, all sorts of weird stuff. You can look him up. He's an actual kind of celebrity out of nothing except for being able to use the medium well. Cristiano Ronaldo, we've already mentioned, top right. People who know football have known football for the last 20 years should know Cristiano Ronaldo. He has over 1 billion followers across Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram. I guess he would still call himself a footballer. And that's surely sort of how he earned his fame. He can actually do something. But he also has opinions and shares them via all these different channels. The one bit I'll always remember of Cristiano Ronaldo was when he had to do an interview after a football match, and there was like Coke and a beer and all sorts of non-sporty drinks in front of him on the table. And he pushed them all away and said, "I'm not having that. This isn't what a sports person would drink." So in that case, you could argue he used his influence for something good, for sort of pointing out that maybe sports people don't always drink Coke all the time, actually, because it's sort of not the thing you drink. Anyway, just sort of an aside, or gives us a flavor of of what this influencer stuff is. Bottom right, indeed, is Andrew Tate, one of the two brothers. I kept it neutral. He's friends, controversial positions online. I think he's done much worse than that, but that's for the courts to work out in detail. He's currently being sent back from the US to stand in court in the UK. He has, or he had in August 2024, nearly 10 million followers on Twitter, or X as it's now known. So people listen to him. He has controversial, strong opinions on things, and people love that there is somebody who's out there saying it as it is, as his followers would think, you know, and that's something other people then would follow. Bottom left, can't believe nobody else knows about him. I speak to the geek. He's a tech nerd for home automation. And he has 27,000 followers on YouTube. I watch his channel every now and again. I won't say I'll follow him, but he's a funny chap, and he does weird things with all sorts of bits of tech around his house, and it's quite nice. I think that's sort of, for me, that's what YouTube is good for, is for learning things that you otherwise wouldn't have necessarily seen. And I quite like watching other people do something, and I sort of learn that way rather than reading a manual, which other people like doing to then know how to do stuff. I can read a manual for days and still not know how to do something, but if somebody shows me how it's done, I fairly easily can then follow that. Anyway, there's big influence, there's small influences. And maybe, so Wikipedia tried to put it in a nutshell. What is an influencer? Is someone who has the ability to alter the attitudes, behavior, or decisions of others through authority, knowledge, position, or the nature of their relationship with the audience. So somebody who influences you, funnily enough, that's an influencer. They do stuff, they change something potentially in your behavior. And such ability is either inherent to their personality or it is constructed by others for benefit. Influencers, by and large, are kinds of role models, really. They have deep insights into topics that somebody cares about. And you have as many influencers out there. You know, I'm still shocked that nobody knows Speak to the Geek. But here we are. It was an interest of mine, and there's a guy out there who's popping out videos about stuff that I might actually be interested in. So there is somebody, and I can watch them do stuff. And it's the same for all the other guys and girls. I'm very aware that there's only guys there. There are female influencers. It's just not in my sphere of knowledge. And when I go onto the internet, I hardly ever see any of them personally because the algorithm. So anyway, influencers can also be used to advertise products or services, for example. So sometimes, you know, I think Mr. Beast, for example, gets sponsorship deals. We know Cristiano Ronaldo gets sponsorship deals when he wears stuff. People watch him and they think, well, that's a cool jacket or whatever it is. I want to have that as well. So the influence can be purchased and be used in many different ways. Anyway, that's just to give you an idea of what that world is all about. And so, is this anything new? And where does it come from? In my days, when I was growing up, dear young congregation.
You used to follow John.
No, this is a reminder of, like, in the 80s, how many TV channels were there? Two, three, four, five, maybe max, I don't know. Same in
Channel
Germany.
4 launched in
Yeah.
1982, I think.
So in Germany you had two national ones and then a regional one that you could also sort of watch, and that had like more local stuff. Anyway, this was the source of truth of what's going on in the world, in a way. And And maybe this was very fact-based and fact-driven, and the facts were in the foreground, and it was a bit boring. It's a bit boring because they held back on opinion. They didn't tell you what to think of it now that you've seen it. They just told you what you've just seen and left it at that most of the time. I'm sure there was always a bit of influence in all sorts of different ways. The emphasis really, though, if you look back at old newspaper reels or news reels, they were very neutral in voice and tone. And that's, I'd say, unlike influencers. It's almost the other way around. An influencer would have a smidgen of fact and give you a lot of opinion on, well, what do you now think about this fact? So nowadays, I think I had that number somewhere. Oh yeah, here we go. There's about 60 million active YouTube channels that tell you something about something. I mean, it's not just all news, it's anything out there, right? And that's just YouTube. Other platforms are available. You can't watch them all, so you start looking for your interest. So your interest shapes what you then are fed. And maybe I'm not talking enough about the algorithm, about how then whatever you're searching for reinforces your YouTube feed as well and gives you more of the same and maybe more extreme versions of things that you've been looking at. So if there's 60 million channels, well, how do you capture people? How do you capture their attention? Yeah. You give them stuff they want to hear and see, and maybe you do stuff that's a little bit outrageous every now and again, just to keep their attention. Yeah. That's the game. Popular influencers keep their channel exciting and engaging. And facts get in the way is a bit of a hyperbole, but the facts aren't what it's all about. It's about what the person who you are watching and listening to thinks about stuff that's going on. But it has to be said that there are some voices out there that you trust. I'll go back to my speak to the geek. Yeah? He'll tell me something and I'll say, all right. And it sort of makes sense because I sort of know a little bit about his own setup at home and what he's done with all these bits of technology around the house. So I can understand what he's telling me, more so maybe than just some neutral bit of information about all the different options there are out there. So I think in all the noise of the information that's out there, influencers do play a role. They give us something that otherwise is difficult to get, is a fast sort of fix on what I might think is good or bad or important or not important. Is this a new phenomenon? No, it isn't, is it? There have always been people who influence others. And I think we probably, some of the more prominent ones happened at the same time as a change in technology. I'm thinking of Martin Luther and the Gutenberg Press. I'm thinking of Martin Luther King Jr. and TV channels. Yeah, Martin Luther was able to spread his information about maybe the church isn't always right in what they're doing far and wide because suddenly he could print in quantity and spread his information that way. Martin Luther King, if you go on YouTube nowadays, you can watch his speeches, etc. And he was able to spread his news and keep protest not just a local thing, but was able to make other people aware of the fact that maybe not everybody is happy about racial divides in the US, etc. So influencers have always been known as such because, well, they're telling you something that's going against maybe the broadly accepted consensus opinion. Yeah? Martin Luther, maybe the church isn't always right. That was revolutionary in a way at the time. Other people had done it before, but maybe not with such ability to spread that news, right? Martin Luther King Jr. I'm sure people had been moaning about segregation, etc., beforehand, but suddenly you saw it on TV every night in the US, and it became a thing. A new medium gives you a voice that you can spread your opinion wider than before. And maybe something similar happened in Jesus's time. Here we are. So maybe the Romans, what did the Romans ever do for us? Well, everybody moaned about them, but the roads were awesome. News was able to be spread far and wide. And maybe it wasn't the quality of the road surface. We wish for some Romans around here nowadays. But maybe it was about maybe being fairly safe. The only people you had to worry about was the Romans. And if they were off your back, you could travel well. Jesus traveled the country far and wide. Jesus stood against the consensus opinion of the day. What was the consensus opinion of the day? Maybe it was simply get the Romans out. What have the Romans ever done for us? Foreign rule was seen as the key adversary. And Jesus couldn't seem to care less about the Romans. He was more concerned with people's motives and their inner struggle to do what is right. He had big numbers of followers, feeding of the 5,000. Well, they didn't have YouTube back then. They didn't have WhatsApp. They didn't have the ability to organize and being able to get 5,000 people together just to hear what it is that you had to say. That's big. That's huge. It helped that he was moving around healing people. And maybe we have to also be aware that some people were compelled to take him seriously because of the miracles he did rather than what he was saying to them. I think that's an important distinction. His 12 apostles are known by name. They then spread his message further while he was still alive and beyond after he had died and been resurrected. But he had many others also who were devoted to following him. The women who were there at the crucifixion, for example. The apostles, obviously, they spread the news of Jesus. So, what was Jesus's message? And maybe we need to finally open our Bibles and read in Mark chapter 2, verses 14 to 27. Well, I'll read from verse 13. So, this is talking about Jesus. Mark chapter 2, starting at verse 13. He went out again beside the sea, and all the crowd was coming to him, and he was teaching them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and followed him. And as he reclined at table in his house, many tax collectors and sinners were reclining with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. And the scribes of the Pharisees, when they saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, said to his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" And when Jesus heard it, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need for a physician, but those who are sick, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." Now John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting, and the people came and said to him, "Why do John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" And Jesus said to them, "Can the wedding guests fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast in that day. No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. If he does, the patch tears away from the new from the old, and a worse tear is made. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the wine will burst the skins, and the wine is destroyed, and so are the skins. But the new wine is for fresh wineskins." One Sabbath he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees were saying to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry, and he and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar the high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which is now, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to him, to those who were with him. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Maybe I wanted to read chapter one. Who knows? I wrote down chapter two, and it sort of fitted still. Jesus was a powerful speaker with a compelling message. He told people that the kingdom of God had come, and he compelled them to repent and to believe the good news. So to repent means to acknowledge that you're doing something wrong, and you now turn your back on this wrong and do something that is right. He was influencing people, right? He was telling people what to do and how to live their lives. And he did so with authority. But he didn't do so with authority that was accepted by those who were in authority at the time. The Pharisees were very angry with him, so much so that in the end, they killed him because they could not stand his message. They didn't so much object to his miracles, but the message that he gave with them was terrible to them. Jesus's message then really can be captured in the Sermon on the Mount, and you'll be pleased to know that we're not going to read Matthew chapter 5 through to 7 now, but to try and summarize that or make sense of what it is that he's telling us there, it's about changing our behavior. It's about finding a way to trust in God despite what our lives might look like. Now, blessed are those who suffer this or are persecuted, etc. In believing that God is going to set things right if we put our trust in him, and if we try to do the right thing in God's eyes. Maybe beforehand, maybe Jesus came to people who very much still believed, well, I'm a Jew. This is we're talking about the God of the Jews. I will be blessed simply by the fact that I am descended of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jesus was suddenly saying to them, well, it really makes a big difference how you behave yourself and what you do with your life. And maybe not quite so much as to just lean back and hope for the best. This was not the consensus view, I don't think, at his time. And I don't think this was new, actually. It was just forgotten. Jesus said of himself that he had come to fulfill the law. It means that nobody else had ever done so. And in his time, they'd pretty much given up on trying, I think. So Jesus spoke against the consensus understanding of what was going on in and around his time. He was fighting against a different enemy, against the enemy of the self, rather than the enemy of the Romans. And so how is Jesus still relevant today? So Jesus died nearly 2,000 years ago, but I think his message is timeless. Jesus has influence in our lives if we engage with him and what he said. Jesus, if you remember back the influences that we had a look at, there were some good ones, some bad ones, some maybe neutral ones to you. I think Jesus is a positive influence in probably everybody's life. He is pro-life. He wants you to live. He wants you to have a good life in the fullest sense. And he's pro being mindful and doing good. He didn't just talk about it, though. He wasn't just somebody who had a YouTube channel and told you what to do and then went off and did something else. He showed this message in his life, in how he lived. And after his life, his apostles and his followers tried to follow in his footsteps. And really, Jesus is inviting us to do the same thing. He's inviting us to the kingdom of God. He's telling us about it. And in his life, we can see the qualities that God will appreciate in his kingdom. Paul writes to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the verses 17 to 21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. He wants us to be the same thing that Jesus was, really, ambassadors. He wants us to be ambassadors of Christ, as though God were making his appeal through us. That's the same appeal Jesus had when he walked the earth. Repent, for the kingdom of God has drawn near. And Jesus is relevant because he did what others only talked about, what others couldn't do. And he calls us in our time to follow his example. So this was Jesus's message from the start. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. If there's anything you want to remember of Jesus, then it's that. And we can bring the kingdom of God nearer to others while we are striving ourselves to become more like Jesus day by day. So what about you and me? We are being influenced by others. So maybe we need to just be aware of that. I'm sure you are anyway. But maybe also help those around you be aware of it and try to think of what we and they choose who to listen to and what that message leads to. We ourselves might be influencing others. And what's our aim when we talk to others? Are we trying to elevate them? Are we trying to get them closer to Christ? Or are we doing other things? And as we just read, Jesus has invited us to be ambassadors for his kingdom. Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." That's Jesus being very relevant to our lives because he is with us. And really, if anyone else would say this, any influencer or any human, I'd be running away. If anybody would tell me that I need to obey everything they have commanded, I'd be running away. But this is Jesus saying it to us. This is the one who died so we can live. The one who loved his neighbor as himself. The one who showed how we can show our love to God. So I'll gladly try and follow him and try to learn how to follow him ever better. Safe in the knowledge that should I get it wrong, I can trust in the grace that he has for all of us. Jesus is going to bring about the kingdom of God. He has invited you and me. He has invited us and shown us how to get there. And he has opened the door wide. So his invitation is there for you today. And it is, come, follow me.